The last time we were together, we were in the Gospel of Luke, and as you know, I go through one verse after the other through the Bible to give us some clarity and understanding. And it says in this passage, the previous passage, we saw that a centurion had sent, a Roman soldier had sent for help from Jesus, and Jesus came. And he didn't even have to get there because the man said, listen, you just have to say the word, and I know he'll be healed. He believed God. He had that faith to trust him and believe him. And as a result of that, the servant who was in trouble was healed. Now, we discover in the Word of God, as we come to this passage of Scripture, I'm still doing a few adjustments here. There we go. We discover another story, not a long story, but a powerful story that teaches us truths about God and truths about ourselves. So let's go through it. It's very short, but it is powerful as we listen to us. Luke 7:11. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And so he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people. And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding regions. Dear God, help us to understand the Bible. Let it be applied to our hearts today. Thank you for this story, and thank you, Lord, for the truth of it, that this really did happen. Praise you for a Savior who's able to raise the dead. Dear God, we ask you to touch our lives here today. Lord, we pray that you'll take all the dead out of us, oh God, and it will be full of your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Jesus is on his way. Now, you might think that as you go on your way through life that, well, things happen. And stuff happens, doesn't it? Happens all the time. And you might think, well, it's all circumstance and chance, and sometimes it's luck, good luck, sometimes bad luck. Listen, I don't live my life by luck. I live it by the grace of God. And the Bible actually tells me that everything that happens to me, if I trust the Lord, will work out for the good. So there is no good or bad luck. There is a Savior, a true and real and living Savior who is willing to be so involved in our lives that he arranges everything that happens in life. And it was not by chance that Jesus landed at the gate of Nain. Nain is a small little city. I'll actually show you a little picture of modern day Nain. That's Nain. Still there. The Bible doesn't talk about fairy tales. It's real places where real people lived. And Nain is still there today, spelled a little different, N-E-I-N instead of N-A-I-N. But that's the town about 25 miles from Capernaum where Jesus had been asked to heal the centurion soldier. And so there at the gate of Nain, we have Jesus showing up at a particular moment in time. When you look through the Bible, you'll find all kinds of particular moments in time. When Jesus went and sat by a well and a woman came to draw water, he didn't get there by accident, he got there by design. You didn't come here by accident, you came here by design. God brings each one of us here today, and he has a reason for each one of us being here on this particular day because he wants to speak into your life in a particular way. Because that's who God is. He is so sovereign, so powerful, that he is willing and able and wants to reach into people's lives and hearts and touch us where we need to be touched. And I'm not God. I don't know. God knows those things. I'm just a channel of his blessing. Sometimes I wish I was a better channel, a more clear channel. But the Lord can use anything. In the Old Testament, at one time, there was a guy going in the wrong direction, and his donkey, his ass, turns around and speaks to him and tells him, you're going the wrong way. So I always say, if God can speak through an ass, he can speak through me. And here, he speaks. And when he speaks in this situation, he wants to speak to us from this passage of Scripture. So he comes to the gate of Nain, and just as he's coming to the gate of Nain, something happens. As he comes to the gate, Luke 7:12, a dead man was being carried out. Just at that moment in time, God had arranged a divine appointment for Jesus. And it was a divine appointment that was not going to be missed. If he had been 10 minutes later, the guy would have already been gone. They were taking him outside the city to bury him. They didn't bury people in their cities. They had walled cities, and they buried them out in the tombs on the outside. And those tombs are still there to this day where these people were to be buried. But they were taking this man out to be buried, and it was at just the moment that God had arranged for Jesus to be there. Don't miss the divine appointments in your life. There are many of them. If you're walking with God, then you're being sensitive to him and he's leading you. Then you can see that everything that happens in life is a divine appointment. The people that you meet, where you go, all the circumstances of life, they don't mean nothing. Life is made up of small moments. Seize those small moments and walk with God in them and discover the value and the joy and the wonder of experiencing God moment by moment in your experience in your life. The little visit that you might make here. Somebody comes to me, a wrong number. When I get a wrong number, you know what I always do? I don't care who it is on the other end. I pray for that person because I believe God gave me the privilege of praying for that person. I never think it's a wrong number. There's no such thing in my book. So what do? I pray for the person who called me. Or if I call them wrong numbers, and I'm really good at that. I get from the phone book to the phone, and I have the numbers backwards. I don't do it deliberately, but then it does give me an opportunity to pray for a lot of different people, that's for sure. So Jesus is coming to the city called Nain. And now I want you to notice something else. Here we have the Lord Jesus coming with a great crowd, it says. Isn't that what it says here? A large crowd was following Jesus. And when he got near the city, it says the dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. We have two crowds meeting each other at the gate of Nain. Two crowds. Two very different crowds. One crowd was following Jesus. One crowd had the King of Glory in front of them. One crowd had the author of life before them. This was one crowd. The other crowd had a dead man in front of them. The other crowd was following death. They were following death all the way to the graveyard. That's what was happening there. So we have two crowds meeting on the road of life. This crowd, the crowd of life. This crowd, the crowd of death. And they met on the road of life. You see, life and death are two different things, are they not? They are. You know, I'm sure if I poked every one of you today, you'd respond because you're alive. But if it was a dead person here, you could poke them all day long and there wouldn't be one response from them because they're two different things altogether. Life is this way and death is that way. But somehow, in God's economy, life met death on the road at the gate of Nain. Something incredible happened at the gate of Nain that day. And it's something to teach us as well. Because the Bible says something about life and death. And it says something important about life and death. Here's what it says. There's different kinds of death. Let me explain this. There's the physical death that we're all going to experience unless Jesus comes back before the service is over. He might. But there's two kinds of death. There's a physical death that we all experience, but there's also a spiritual death that all of us were born into. That is, we have a separation from God because of our sin. Because of the sin of the human race, we're separated from God. Look what it says. Christians, he said, you, God, Jesus, made alive when we were dead in what? Trespasses, that is rebellion, and sin. We were dead in sins. But God says you've been made alive. In Ephesians 2:5, it says, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. And so there is a spiritual death inside of people. And people are walking dead. I've said this before. So many people are walking dead in sin. They don't have the life of God on the inside. Instead, they have sin ruling their hearts on the inside, and they're walking dead. And the picture here of a great crowd coming, there was a physical death there, but oh, let me tell you, there is a great multitude of people that are walking spiritually dead on the inside. What a grievous thing that is, to be spiritually dead. At one time I was spiritually dead. I didn't know who God was. And even when I got to know who he was, I still didn't know him personally. It's one thing to know that there is a God, but that's not enough. I must know him personally. I must enter into a life transaction with him. And what happens here as this dead man is being carried, when somebody's dead, they're dead. And what a thing to do is to look in the face of a young man. This was a young man. This was a tragedy, right? Most people, when they see an old person die, they say, well, you know, that's the way it goes. But when a young person dies, it's a tragedy. And this was a great tragedy. And it was a double tragedy in a way that this was a widow. And it was a triple tragedy in a way that this was a widow and this was her only son, the only one. This was the end of the line for her. It was likely that she was old enough that she wasn't going to have any more children. Her husband had already died, and now she was losing her only son. What a tragedy this is. And friends, I want to tell you this. Sin that produces death on the inside of your life is a great tragedy. It is as great a tragedy as this and more, because it leaves people in an awful place. It leaves them in lonely places, and eventually, according to the Bible, Jesus said, if you die in your sins, you can't go to heaven. Jesus said, you can't go where I am. Listen, that's important. Jesus said in John chapter 8, if you die in your sins, you can't go where I am. So, that means either you die in your sins or you die without your sins. Which way do you want to go? Now, let's take it for granted that we're going to go. Okay? We'll take that for granted. But the answer on the other end of that is, am I ready to go? Will I die in my sins or will I die without my sins? Here's what makes the difference. Whether you meet Jesus on the road of life. Whether you, who the Bible says, were dead in trespasses and sins, meet Jesus on the road of life. If you meet Jesus on the road of life, then he will raise you to life on the inside, in that he will take away all of that sin and the punishment for it. He bore it at the cross, and then you will go absolutely free in the presence of God, and you'll go straight into heaven the moment that you die. Which one do you want? Is that a no-brainer? Yes. That's what God calls us to. But if you don't meet Jesus on the road of life, now don't misunderstand me. I didn't say if you don't go to church. I didn't say if you don't get baptized. I didn't say if you don't go and see a priest or a minister. I said if you don't meet Jesus on the road of life. I didn't say that if you know a lot of stuff. You could memorize the Bible and not meet Jesus. You could pray every day and not meet Jesus. Meeting Jesus is a divine encounter where you surrender, where you give over the control of your life into the hands of God. Now this guy, he couldn't do anything, could he? He was dead. What could he do? Could he say, just a minute, please, stop. I don't want to go any further. I don't want to go down into that tomb. He couldn't do that. He was dead. He was out of the picture. And sadly, in God, in this life, all of us are in one sense out of the picture because of sin. And that's why we need the power of God to come. And God is stepping through this world. He is. He's walking through the world and he's touching people's lives. He's raising people up. It doesn't matter where they are. It doesn't matter how violent the country is. Don't matter how many restrictions they have. God is reaching into hearts and lives of people all over the planet. And he reaches into the hearts that are here in this room. God is a sovereign, mighty, powerful God. And he wants to reach into our lives. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word, this is the words of Jesus, and believes in him who sent me, has what? Everlasting life. Everlasting life. And shall not come into judgment. Judgment of God. Do you fear the end of this world, the end of this life? Shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. That's what it says. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. Now, that's the spiritually dead. Later on, he talks about the physically dead because he says it's right now the dead are going to hear the voice of the Son of God and they're going to live. Praise the Lord. So Jesus comes. This author of life comes and he meets death head on. Look what it says about death here, Hebrews 2:14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, that's us, we are flesh and blood. He himself, that is Jesus, likewise shared in the same. He took on flesh and blood. Jesus left heaven, came down here, and took on flesh and blood. That through death, that is his death on the cross, he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil. and released those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage or slavery. The whole world is in slavery to the fear of death. Did you know that? The word cancer, what a dreaded word it is in our society. Why? Because people are afraid. People are afraid to die. It's a funny thing that everybody's afraid of that which is inevitable. Am I right? It is absolutely inevitable, and we're all afraid of it. But God sent his son Jesus to deliver us from the fear of death. That's an incredible gift. What a gift to have that the fear of death is looked after because Jesus Christ has come and he destroys the power of death. He destroyed the power of death. Well, yeah, but that's the whole part of it. That's right. That's true. And it's because there is a fear. What happens after that? And recently I said to somebody, I said, what about the other side? Are you ready for the other side? Nobody knows. Nobody came back from the dead and told us what's on the other side. I said, excuse me, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And he said exactly what's on the other side. And he showed you exactly how to get to heaven. But if you don't take the road, if you don't listen, respond to Jesus, then you've decided, I will die in my sins. And you'll die with the fear of death. But praise God, you don't have to do that. Jesus came to deliver us from that. He came to set us free so that we can know and be sure that we have, as it says here in John 5:24, it says, whoever believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. So here's what happens. The moment that you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you pass from death to life on the inside. You have a resurrection on the inside. You become a new person on the inside. And your sins are all forgiven. You have a home guaranteed in heaven. And the power and the presence of God, the life of God comes on the inside. So that now, everlasting life begins at that moment. And then you go right on and death is just a doorway into the glory of God. That's all it is. Just like that, poof, one place into the other. And a far greater place than here, by the way. What a promise we have. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, we see that life and death meet. And as life and death meets, something powerful takes place. What takes place is that God has compassion. It says here in this passage of Scripture, it says, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said to her, do not weep. We could spend a lot of time talking about the sorrows that come with death. And I could tell you a lot of stories about the sorrow that comes with sin. But most of you, I don't have to, because you've experienced it. You've experienced the devastation of sin, where there was anger and bitterness and hardness and harshness and hatred and jealousy and envy and strife. You know the list, don't you? You've experienced some of it. Some of it has been wrongfully pushed on you, and some of it you've pushed it on others. The sorrow of death is like the sorrow of sin. There's no end to it. But there is an end when you meet Jesus. And that's what happens here. Jesus comes to this woman, and he says to her, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Imagine. There you are, burying your only son. You don't know who this guy is. He comes along, and He comes to you and goes to you and says, don't weep. You might get a little insulted, right? Who are you? I'm going through it. You don't understand. This is my only son. And remember, a widow at that time didn't get any widow's allowance. A widow at that time, if they lost their husband and they lost their children, do you know where they were found after that? On the street, begging. They had no recourse. There was no social services. There was nothing. Nothing for her. Unless some friends would take compassion on her or pity on her, she would generally end up on the street begging for whatever crumb she could get in order to survive. So this woman was totally devastated in every way possible. And he says to her, do not weep. He could say this because he was going to do something about it. He could say this because his words were not just words. And I want you to know God's words are not just words. God's words are action. God, what's that? Promises. They are promises that are true. They're not pie crust promises. They're true promises. And so what does he do about it? He says, don't weep. And then he goes to this open coffin. And actually, it wasn't a coffin. That's really, the right translation would be probably the closest would be a stretcher. Because that's what it would have been. An open stretcher. And on the stretcher, they would have had him wrapped in grave clothes. And here, they would have been open for all to see. And there, he touched the open coffin. And those who carried him stood still. Now, when he touched that open coffin, immediately you would be unclean. You would be unclean. That was the rules in Judaism. If you touched anything dead or anything that touched anything that dead, immediately you were unclean. And you'd be ceremonially unclean for weeks after that. You'd have to go through all these ceremonies. Jesus didn't care about any of that. He was reaching into death. He couldn't be affected by that death. He was going to affect death. Death meant life and life won. Praise the Lord. And whenever you trust in the Lord, life will conquer the death in you. He'll conquer the sin in you. He'll take it away from you. He'll bring you into a new place. And so what happens? He touched the and he stood still and he said, young man, I say to you, arise. This is how we know it was a young man. And he said, I say to you, arise. So what happens? So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he presented him to his mother. Imagine. He pops up and he begins speaking. I thought of Darren when he said, when that happened. And I thought of myself too, because I can talk, if you haven't noticed. Yeah. But I did, I thought about Darren. Boy, as soon as Darren sits down, wherever he is, as soon as he comes in, he starts speaking. Right? And it reminds me so much of myself when I was his age. The guy sat up and he started speaking. And that's what he does here. Young man, I say to you, arise. He was dead, sat up, and he began to speak. And what does that tell us? That tells us that not only was he raised from the dead, but he didn't have any brain damage either. Right? He could still speak. He has all his faculties. When Jesus touches you, he makes you whole. It's not a halfway wholeness. He makes us whole. Praise the Lord. This man got up and he began to speak right away. And he presented him to his mother. He said, here, now, where's the weeping now? Do you think the woman was weeping then? If she was weeping, she was weeping for joy. Everything had changed. Everything changes when Jesus comes. When Jesus comes, everything changes. I can say that with my whole soul, because when Jesus came to me, everything changed. And when Jesus comes to you, everything will change. And if there's been no change, Jesus hasn't come yet. But he's willing to come. He's willing to come to dead places. He's willing to reach into broken places. He's willing to reach in the very hard, the difficult places, the unclean places. And he's willing to come and raise you up and change your life from the inside out. And it's powerful because he's powerful. Because it's Jesus is doing it. No one else can do it. Not all the charlatans in the world. Not all the fake stuff that goes on. That doesn't change who Jesus really is and the power that he has to bring life to those who are broken and ruined and lost. I praise God when Jesus comes, everything changes. Praise the Lord. He who was dead sat up and began to speak. This great and wonderful Savior is full of compassion. It says he had compassion on this mother, and he has compassion on you today. Don't ever doubt for a second one thing, and that is that God loves you. For the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And that God wants to touch your life in amazing and powerful ways. He's just full of compassion and mercy. In spite of who we are. In spite of what we've done. Often I have spoken to people. And you might say, oh yeah, well that person, you know, they're fine, upstanding people, whatever. And then we begin to start share with people and suddenly they begin to pour out and says, I don't think God would forgive me for what I've done. All of us have a past. And all of us have dark corners in our past. But we have a Savior bigger than the dark corners. A Savior who's willing to come and wipe it all away. Because he's full of compassion. You know, the Bible tells us that while we were his enemies, he died for us. Not while we were his friends. The Bible says that God is kind to the unthankful and the unholy. God is full of mercy. And here he comes to this situation and he raises this man from the dead. Now, this man didn't raise himself from the dead, did he? He couldn't. He was dead, right? The only person who raised himself from the dead was Jesus. Jesus said, you destroy this temple, this body, and 3 days I'm going to raise it up. But this man couldn't raise himself from the dead. His mother couldn't raise him from the dead. Do you think she wanted to? Yes. Of course she did. Not all the crowds could raise him from the dead. But this man met Jesus. I want you to know that he's the only one that can raise us from the dead on the inside, spiritually. It's not by rules and rituals. It's by a relationship with Jesus where you meet him and he changes your life. And when he changes it, when he raises you from the dead, you're really alive. You know, the Lord Jesus raised, there are three people that documented in Scripture that Jesus raised from the dead. There was Jairus' daughter. That was a young girl. There was this young man, and the last one was Lazarus, an older man. So it seemed like the Lord, the Bible wanted us to know, the Spirit of God wanted us to see that it didn't matter whether they were young, whether they were medium, or whether they were old. It didn't matter. Jesus can handle it all. And I want you to know he can handle you. He can handle you. He can raise you from the dead. He can cause you to walk. He can cause you to talk. He can make you a new creation. Praise the Lord. So we are, I'm so excited that here where death and life met, life wins. Praise God. Jesus wins. And he can win for you. And he can win for your neighbor. And don't you look on anybody and say they're beyond hope. Because Jesus Christ can reach into the deadest place, the hardest place, and he can make a change. He can bring new life. By his mighty power, he is more than able to do it. So fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people. They were blown away by it. Well, I would be too, wouldn't you? They were amazed by it. Now, this wasn't done in a corner. There were two great crowds that saw all this happen. There was no way it could be denied. And there he was, this young man who they were taking out to the tomb was suddenly alive, completely alive again. And they said, God has visited his people. But you know, they said a great prophet has risen among us. And it was report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding regions. The problem was, is he was more than a great prophet. He was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. He's the Savior. And everybody's got to meet him. And here's the challenge that I'll leave you with today. You're all going to meet Jesus. Meet him now on the road of life. And let him raise you from the dead on the inside. Let him take the spiritual death away, all your sins away. Trust him as your Savior. Have an encounter with him now. And then when you meet him at the judgment throne, all will be well. All will be well. Don't meet him now. Pass him by. Continue on in your sins. Then you face the judgment throne and all will not be well. Because then you will face the judgment of Almighty God because you've not trusted him as your personal Savior. We all need an encounter with Jesus now. This was a one-time opportunity. Had there been 10 minutes later, like I said, that young man would have went to the tomb and that would have been the end of the story. So how important it is that we're ready to meet Jesus right now, because this is the encounter that you can have with God. It may be the only encounter that you will ever have. It may be the only time that your heart is stirred enough to hear Jesus speak to you. Young man, young woman, old man, old woman, young child, old child, whatever it is. I say to you, rise up, trust me. I say to you, put your faith in me right now. And as soon as you do, instantly, you are saved and you will know it. Because that's what happens when you encounter Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this story. Thank you for the simplicity of it, Lord. Thank you for a conquering Savior. Thank you that life has met death and life wins. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, on the road to life, Lord, we pray that we will encounter Jesus Christ. And for those who have not, that they would this very day say yes to Jesus Christ and be raised from the dead on the inside, so that when the great resurrection happens, there'll be no fear. No fear. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're the author of life. We surrender ourselves to you. We ask you, oh God, to fill us with your Spirit and pray for your blessing, Lord, on all of us. In Christ's name, amen. Let's sing a song in closing. Stand and sing.